You can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth your treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have everything, but what does it,
never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music, the Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday, talk radio with the best host in the business, sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. you will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Thoughts, Love, and Reflection by James T. Deshay. I am a gladiator. Despite what others choose to see, my life is determined by my selected steps. Regardless of the traps set by those who hate me, I am the master of my lifelong quest. It is my convictions and courage that will decide the success of my personal journey, not the dreamless limitations of those who refuse to see the greatness of my legacy. I walk not in the shadow of those who wish to be unnoticed. I stand tall in a crowded room of those who created their own path through life. I am driven to make noise where others wish to remain silent. I wear the suit of those who slew dragons and ruled kingdoms. I will not give in to the starless skies of those who see me as worthless and without meaning. I am a present-day gladiator, and I will have victory over the kingdom of my birthright. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Your voice can be heard loud and clear and without interruptions. Don't allow self-doubt to silence your dreams. Call 407-459-4827. That's 407-459-4827. Allow your dreams to take flight. Increase your quality of life and your monthly cash flow. Visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay.com. If you enjoy my poetry, please hit the like button and subscribe. I look forward to you becoming a part of my listening audience. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Can you hear my voice, Cheryl?
I can hear you.
Okay, I was having some difficulty not hearing anything out of my speaker. I am so happy and pleased to be here today, given this opportunity to talk about the subject that I chose. And I want to make sure that I ask everybody if they see
this particular situation the same way I do. And I guess I'm comparing it to a past situation that we've come through, and just asking whether or not we're hearing the same type of terminology used related to the first of this historical first. And what I meant by that, when I saw that the Prince of England had asked for this young lady's hand in marriage, I always knew that she was mixed. But yet there seemed to be some toning down of that if you compare it to the way Barack Obama was handled. So I just wanted to ask my audience today if they saw a distinct difference in the way this young lady, her coming out has been handled versus the way Barack Obama's coming out was handled, and see if there is some intentional effort made to downplay her ethnicity. And, you know, it's important because if there is no need to downplay her ethnicity, then this truly would go a long way to make sure people recognize the heights that people of color are transcending to. And so, but I just don't, you know, as much as I listen to news, I've heard and seen pictures of her mother and her family, but I don't know if I've heard the term African American used or the term black used related to her. I think we've been hearing more mixed in that kind of situation versus terms that would equate that she is truly a woman of color. What is your thoughts about that, Joyce? Excuse me, I mean Audrey.
Well, you did you ask me, Audrey, or you want to talk to Audrey?
I'm sorry, Joyce.
Okay.
Go ahead,
hi,
Joyce.
Guys. Well, to me, you got to realize that the United States is not in control of where this is England, and they don't see color the way that we see it here in the United States. Secondly, Harry has been dating other Africans. He had a long lasting relationship with an African young lady. So with them, someone coming into their heritage, it wouldn't have been no big deal if it's of color. Now they have been indicating that Megan has indicated that she's from a mixed family. Her dad is white and her mom is black, and that she has two half siblings. She don't know them that well. She only stayed with them 2 years in the whole bit. So to the news, they're not going to make a big deal out of it, because England is not going to make a big deal out of it, but because to them it's not a big deal. You see,
well,
so
I recognize
that is.
Joyce, I recognize England, but I'm just saying, in terms of the broadcasting here related to the States, I'm not focusing on England, because certainly England does have a different way of dealing with that. But I'm just focusing on whether or not America's journalists and how they're handling it. One of the things
American journalists are going to follow suit. They're going to follow suit. Being a used to be a news reporter long, long time ago myself, they're going to follow suit or protocol as to they're not in speed dial up of what's going on. So England is going to feed to them how they want it to be, how they want this relationship to be trade, and how it's going to be trade. And American is not going to step on those toes to do that. That's why they're doing all the reporting and how things are handling, how it came about, and the whole bit. They're letting England dictate to that. So, therefore, we're going to see a whole different avenue as to how this is going to be. But I'm so glad that she is Afro-American, like Whoopi couldn't have said it better, that for every young lady to dream that you couldn't be a princess, hello. she's a proven entity of that. So fantastic. I'm so proud of it. So I think we're going to see a different twist. It's not going to be nothing like Barack Obama or Dilt because they're so used to mix. That's how come a lot of people a long time ago before that mix was so prevalent here, they would go over to Europe and they love women of color over there in the European countries and the whole bit. The Naomis and everybody, the tall, beautiful black women. So therefore, those countries are so used to that. We're just playing catch up here in the United States. And if you notice, and I told Audrey just recently, if you notice a lot of commercials that you see now, when you really look at commercials, you see a lot of mixed couples, you know, both white women and black men, but a lot of black women with white men as couples on commercials. So we're finally coming up to where the other country's been a long time ago, I think. Thank you.
Well, when I brought up the question, because I have always thought that white America should grasp hold of Barack Obama just as much as African Americans, because the deal with them was that they always seemed to try to deny his white side of the family, even though we knew that they were prevalently involved in his life. So, Cheryl, my question is that now, even with us being Americans, this would be a great time to show that same kind of behavior so that our girls of color recognize that there's no place that they can't be. As Joyce just said, I think it's an opportunity for us to make sure and realize that we take advantage of this to encourage women of all races, and especially women of color.
Good evening, and how is everyone doing today? That's so correct when Joyce was saying, but that would be the ideal thing, and that would definitely be something that we could definitely take advantage of. But we still, you know, we have to be open-minded to be able to do that, and some people are so stuck in their ways that this situation will go right over their heads. They won't look at, says we have so many positive things that go on and that we focus more on the negative things. So again, you know, it was right when Joyce said, you know, this is definitely something that we could look at and present to, especially our women. But, this would be an ideal situation if we took advantage of it. So the more who take advantage of it is good, and the ones that, you know, don't, I guess it's still their loss. And it has to do more or less with just not being open-minded and being inbred, you know, racism for such a long time. They find it hard to be able to change or to accept something, you know, different.
Well, it's certainly, we have praised this young lady for a long time because she is a true actress and she's played such a great part in her television series. It is going to be a shame that she will not be able to do both, but I understand why she'll be so busy in her role. But I just think, I just want to think that this is going to be an outstanding opportunity as she moves forward to take a stand and a place in our society and in the world where she's going to be able to do some great things, and her image will show some and inspire a lot of people. So, Joyce, one of the things we want to get out of this is that you know, her connections with the U.S. and with the world is going to give a lot to all of us.
Yes, that's true. Is she going to show a different image, of a lady of elegance, class? No different than what Michelle Obama did. Michelle Obama really put elegancy and black women up above par on the map. That's why Ivana Trump is trying to emulate the first lady, Michelle Obama, because she set the standard, elegant at its best. Now, if you can remember Diana did a lot of volunteer over in Africa and the whole bit, so quite naturally, Harry, most of his work was over there. And she always been a humanitarian herself. So I'm glad that she won't be acting, because actually that was just a mean to where she was trying to go. And what she always wanted to do is be an advocate, and this would set the stage. They've been to blow up the type of royalty like it's never been done before. And what they're going to do, they're going to put a different twist on it, of the elegance on it. They're going to really show you what royalty, but it's everyday common royalty is what they're going to show you, that the average person can have that royal within you. You are that person. You are. And I am just so proud of this young lady. I don't know what to do. So now, how are we going to perceive that in the United States? President of the United States belittling blacks like a dog over the holiday. And not only that, he just called this congressman, Potapanda, I forgot what the name of slang slur, Indian slur, when he's hosting the Indians there for their contributor, what they did for the United States. This dude is foul mouth, and a lot of people are going to follow him, and you just got that inner hatred, racism that is not going to go away. So I don't care what, because Obama was as high as they can go with elegancy, him and his wife, as for royalty and what presidential is supposed to be. They took it beyond that. And you see this guy that comes along, and for him to get the crowd that he has to be behind him, it's just ridiculous. So a lot of people going to be for it, but a lot of people never going to give them respect regardless of what, you see. But I'm so proud of Harry, because he has been there all along, as far as he never seen no color, because of the other previous people that he dated. And if you notice where he spent his time as far as the volunteering and what he was humanitarian. So I'm just so happy for both of them. But a lot of things are not going to change with some people's minds. Like Cheryl said, is that some people, we can take them where to a different level, but others, they're going to remain back there, and they're going to only see it on a one-track mind.
Well, I have to tell you, I was always a Diana fan, and the effect that she has had on her sons is incredible. I mean, I just take my hat off to them and to Harry, based on the fact that there were a number of things that he overlooked in his selection. I mean, it's just extremely meaningful. You know, when I heard that normally they don't select someone who's been previously married, and then they don't normally select people who are mixed. And so it just tells you that they've gone a long way. And it I have to be honest, it brings a different perspective in my mind related to the royalty anyway. You know, one of my thoughts has always been, was why is England still in the midst of this royalty when they don't, you know, their government is changed. But clearly, it brings some sympathetic or different thoughts in my mind now related to the kind of work these two are going to be able to do, and the kind of division they're going to be able to bring together. They're really going to be able to show that we are much more connected than we act sometimes around the world. So Cheryl, this should really be, hopefully, if this goes through as planned and they get married early next year, we're looking for a real different sense of who the world is based on this situation.
You're so right. And imagine what it would be if the majority of us can embrace that and can see that. The downfall is that we still going to have so many that's going to criticize and find fault with it. But just as Joy said, you know, he didn't see, he see people as people. And what they're representing is, you know, a lot of what, and I too myself, you know, followed Princess Diana during her time. And, you know, I know she would definitely be so proud of her her young men, and especially, you know, him. But problem is that although they are setting an example, will we embrace the example, the lifestyle that they'll be leading before us?
Well, I certainly believe there's going to be a lot of ugliness, without a doubt, just like the ugliness that President Barack Obama and his family had to face. There's going to be people who show their true colors, that a major part of Donald Trump's administration are the people who follow Donald Trump. So we should expect that they're going to have a lot of negative things to say based on the fact that this woman is a woman of color. And I just, you know, again, I just want to pay attention to how much play that's going to get. And anybody who has who has been a part or pays attention knows who this woman is. But I'm wondering just again how often you're going to hear them say it. You know, just like I do, that it has always been a part of our culture that if any part of you was African American, then you were black. I think they used to call it a teaspoonful, you know. And so obviously, this young lady has more than a teaspoonful, being that her mother is black. And so we just need to see how these families are going to be handled and accepting in this new world order. Joyce?
Well, the way that I look at it, it's going to be a new day on how people are going to perceive everything. But as far as Trump, won't have no control over what happens to them in England. Believe me, they're going to look at so much differently. If you looked at her mom, she looks so much like her mom, totally. And her mom is just a commoner. She's a yoga instructor and she's a social worker. I mean, that's it. You know, that's just as basic and common can be. As a matter of fact, her family is more common than Kate Middleton's family. You know, she was a stewardess and he was a pilot. But and that's common. But they, this guy, her mom and dad is common, are the most common. Her dad was is in the media business as far as lighting and staging, and her mom was, like I say, she's a yoga instructor and she's a social worker. So this is as common as you get, and they always say mixed. So everybody know that she's African, that she's black. You know what I mean? But they are not going to use that word black. They'll use mixed. So when you hear mixed, you know what it is. You know what the real deal is. You know. So that's what they've been indicating. But she has no shame in her game. She'll let you know in a minute that her mom is black, her dad is white, and she said it was no big deal. And once they put it out there, and I can tell she is of strong skin. I don't think she's going to be a pushover. So I think she'll be the type that will definitely put you in check if Harry doesn't, because Harry going to put you in check.
Well, you know, that's my concern, is they always have this need, Mariah Carey and a lot of other people who are just as light as this young lady is. They don't have no problem with calling her black or saying that she's black. Then all of a sudden now we want to change these terms and lighten up this thing. And I'm just saying we've always accepted them because of their color as being black, no matter what, because, if, you know, that's how we are as African-Americans. But it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. 2251, 2251, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you, name's Black Gladiator, calling from D.C.
You know, what is your thoughts related to this new thing with Prince Harry selecting, becoming engaged to a African-American female?
Well, I can only say that it's astonishing, you know. I think my thoughts on it are it's black corporate America, white corporate America versus the black females, you know. And I not to throw off, you know, or go get away from the subject, but if you notice, you know, these corporations in America are really attacking these females where these females are wearing tight clothes and doing all these type of things. And so this woman is standing up. You know, this woman is standing up, and this woman, she's basically, I wouldn't call her African American, I'm gonna say black for the sake of the conversation. She's black, and she's being media attacked, you know what I'm saying? And if we look at all through history, you know, that's what they do. They try to use different tactics to break us down. And I'm on the black woman's side for sure. I'm on the black woman's side for sure. I not to pull the race card out, like they would say, you know, you're pulling the race card out. But I'm just saying that, you know, we have polarities in life, you know, and these polarities, you got black, you got white, you got left, you got right, you know. And my thing is, I think that this black woman should be, I think it should be all over. I think that it shouldn't be just us talking about it. You know what I'm saying? I think that it should be all over where people are talking about these things. You know, not these things, but the subject about the matter, because the subject really is an important subject, you know? So my opinion on it, I wouldn't say is small, but I would say that my opinion on it is basically, it's a criminal justice system. These criminals are justifying their system, and something got to be done. You know, they took us from so-called the motherland, which is Africa and things like that, and now we're here, and we're like, and what I'm saying, now we're here, I mean, we're at the building. You know, we can possess it, we can take over it. But I think if we don't watch how our perspective and our ignorance, you know, we'll lose it. You know, we'll never be able to take over. But just, I hope that answered the question in any way.
All right. Well, let me take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Okay.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. You wanna
yeah, it's just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can flee. Hey, 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 it's your move, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers. Some of them were damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, girl, I just wish that you would. Cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. Say there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby, practice what you preach.
That she haven't changed and she won't change. This is who she is. She don't have no shame in her game as to who she is, what she all about, and where she come from. So this is a person who's very comfortable in her skin. So you know, I think that's what drew each other to. He was looking for just a downright common person who has the same goals and the same things that he have in mind as to what he want. Now, he's a different type of royalty. You see, I couldn't see the oldest one dating her. You know, Kate Middleton is about as he was going to get. And like I say, when you look at her background as compared to Megan's background, it's now Megan is what you call common. And to me, she was not common. To me, Middleton, to me, she was like middle upper class type of thing. But Megan is what you call common, like you and me common. You see what I'm saying? So she feels so, that's who she is and that's who she's been all her life. But like now, you know, she's an actress too. So, you know, everybody's an actress, but her stage has just gotten to be a little bit bigger for her to show who she is as that person and being just that person who she is. And it's just gone to blossom on a lot of people. And like I say, it brings a lot to the royal family. And I think they were really smart in welcoming her in because they needed a change. They needed to come out of that type of royalty into the new century of royalty. And this is what those two are going to do. They're going to do it way more than Williams and Kate Middleton. They're going to really show the naturalness and make people feel good about the royalty and make them feel good about themselves because they're going to look at somebody that they can relate to. And that's what this is all about. I think it's fantastic.
Cheryl, I think this says a lot about who Harry is and how he relates to the world and how the world is going to have an opportunity to even set their goals even higher as a result of this this couple.
It does. It speaks volume about him, because he is clearly saying that he sees people as people. And he, you know, and just like Joyce was saying, it wasn't that he went to seek out somebody with royalty or somebody in such a class that he couldn't see a person for who they really were. And it, to me, it speaks volume about him. It really does. And this is definitely something that we want to watch, you know, throughout their marriage and see how they're handling things and be the example that we can really look up to, because, you know, we fall short of so much because of how we see, even relationship-wise. You know, I can't date anyone who's not in my class, or I won't date beneath me. I won't, and I'm not saying that she's beneath him. What I'm saying is that you can't. You're not look. He's not looking at a class. He's looking at a person. You know, and although she has a lot to offer, and this would, I mean, I'm like Joyce. I'm really excited, you know, and looking forward to seeing the different things that she involved herself in, that we can actually see those things as clearly examples, you know, and maybe that we can take hold of some of those things, you know, and have more of an open mind.
Yeah, and it's important that we recognize what she brings to the table. And here, just to salute him, but maybe this is something that is coming to the light. You know, here you have Serena getting married and just having her baby. And a lot of these people seemingly have decided that they're going with their heart and not with what society says has to happen. Reverend Smith, is that you out there?
Yes, it's me. Uh-huh.
All right, Reverend Smith, what are your thoughts about what's taking place, and how do you think white America is going to handle this relationship, and will they treat her differently or try to suggest that she's different and not use African-American or black in their description of her?
Well, some of them have already started that. As you well know, there's already been phone calls and other things of that nature. I'm pretty sure you've already discussed that. But I don't expect America, white America, to change. They haven't changed in all these years and time. There's a change coming, but it's not here now. It's not here yet. She is going to have to be very careful. They're going to scrutinize just about everything that she does. I believe, this is just my belief on it, and just because she's marrying, I think his name, Prince William, I think that she's doing a wonderful thing. I really do. My concern is I think he will back her up, and because he is marrying the prince, she is marrying the prince, that she's going to have a lot of latitude to do a lot of different things, and people will be kind of skeptical. But as I said in the beginning, they're already started. They have already started, and it's going to be difficult for her. I really pray that she stands up for her color. You know, she don't have to walk around and constantly holler, "I'm black, I'm black." Nobody have to do that. Everybody know it now because the television wouldn't let it go. So what difference did it really make in the first place? But that's what I just want her to not deny it, such as a Tiger Woods or some of the others. I want her to make, if she has not already done so, I want her to just make it known, yes, and I'm proud of it, just like Obama did. Well, I don't know whether he did it either, but the whole situation is that it's going to be tough on her, though. It's going to be tough on them. They're going to be tough on her. White America only thinks white. I don't care how much we want to try and change this perception or try to do or make things different, you still got that 35 or 40% that they just, it's inbred in them. Let me give you a short story and then I'm through. When I was in the military, I was on the boxing team. And it was about eight of us who were boxed, and we were coming back and to get on a bus to go across to the other side of the base to our barracks. And when we got out of the gym, we got to the bus stop. There was one white boy there, one. And when the bus came, we got ready to get on the bus. He stopped us before we got on the bus, and he said, "Don't no niggers get on this bus before I do." Eight of us. And he knew what we did because I remember seeing him in the gym. And we beat him till blood came out of every orifice he got. He has. But he still looked up at us and said, "You are an N-word." You know. So when it's inbred like that, it's almost something like it's going to have to die out. And I just ignore the idiots myself. I ignore them. If they say it to my face, that's a whole other story. But thinking about what they're going to think of what they're going to do, we know. We already know without speculation. That's just the way it is.
Well, Joyce, one thing is for sure, he knew exactly what he was getting into. There was no way when he started this relationship did he not consider all the things that he was going to deal with. And so I guess that's why we should take our hat off to him, because he was ready from the very beginning to make this statement. And when he would walk around holding her hand and taking her places, everybody knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And what we got to realize, too, is that it ain't about Americans. They from England. She was from Canada. Canada and England is just one of those countries. So it's not about that. He used to date African women prior to. This is not his first black person that he dated.
Okay.
It's just America needs to digest this. So it's nothing new for people of England. So Americans, either they get on board, who cares if they don't? They from England. She moved over there. That's where she's at now. So she's real comfortable in her skin, and this been going on. So it's not what we think or how we think or whatever. It ain't about our ways. They're way ahead of the game. They always been there. He've dated this one African lady for 4 or 5 years. You know what I mean? So dated. So you know he have always dated women of color. So it's just no big deal there. So people in England, they so happy for this. They've been waiting for this engagement. So if we got attitude, big deal. Get in line. So we're not going to change how America think anyway, okay? England don't care what you think. They in control. They running this show. Always have, always will.
Hallelujah.
So that's what we got. That's what we're not getting. That's what you're not getting.
Well,
but I understand what you guys saying, which is true.
One of the things we have to do, though, is we have to use it to the best of our ability. And certainly I hope them to have a very successful relationship so that we can inspire our little girls. We're already telling them that they can be anything they want to be. And we had to tell the boys that they could be president. Now when we tell them they can be president of the United States, we can tell our little girls they can be queens and princesses. And so it is important that we recognize that we are going to be in every place in America, and all we have to do is stick strong to our ability and the quality that we put into our minds and our thoughts so that we will be prepared to deal with the journey that we have before us. So, Cheryl, what is important is that we be educate ourselves and prepare ourselves for the greatness that we're capable of living. But if we don't get prepared, this young lady got prepared. She made herself, she put herself on the highest stage that she could, and she was ready and prepared to take on a relationship was good, that was going to take her to the next level.
And you're right. And, you know, that is actually an example, because when we, man or woman, is about to go into a relationship looking for a husband, we have to have ourselves prepared. We, you know, shouldn't go into that relationship looking for someone to complete us, you know, and that's where we get it so wrong, that we should be working on ourselves. What is it that we are bringing to the table? We're so much looking for somebody to do something else for us. And instead of, you know, preparing, she's preparing herself to be the wife of the husband. And he has prepared himself to be the husband, and also with the qualifications that go along with each one of those things. So, you know, we can take a look at that, but, you know, just like the pastor was saying, that, and I said earlier, you know, although this is an example, they're going to be definitely, she's going to be criticized. They will be criticized about a lot of things. And when a white person has it embedded in them, you know, it's not much that we can do to change their minds, you know, but this is definitely an example, and hopefully some that are not so far gone, that this definitely can be an eye-opening for them.
Yeah, you know, it's just so amazing to me. And again, we go back and we think about Michelle Obama and what she went through, and the nerve of some of white Americans who would suggest that she wasn't a beautiful woman, or she didn't carry herself with grace. Like the woman who got fired, talking about she finally we got an attractive woman in the White House. You know, it's amazing. And when you look at these people and you think, and why would you say that based on where, you know, what you're looking like? And so it is interesting to see what kind of things or what kind of stones may be thrown at this young lady as a result, and see who they're thrown by. You know, it was you had certain white congressmen who spoke about the way Michelle talked about health, and they would say, well, she ain't healthy. And, you know, you look at them, what in the world, how much healthier did they want her to be? I mean, so it is amazing, Reverend Smith, how certain people will throw stones at somebody and they don't even emulate the thing they're throwing stones at.
I agree with you, but, you know, the one thing that I try to tell young people anymore is that you've got to live this life for yourself. You can't walk around wondering or thinking totally or heartily about what others are thinking about you, because it's common knowledge that we are not very well received no matter what. So we've got to come to that point in our lives that we tell our children, we've got to constantly let the young girls and the young boys know that, hey, you are special anyway, no matter what.
Royalty.
No matter what it thinks of you, no matter what. And God don't make no junk. All of these kind of things. We've got to talk beauty to them. We've got to let them know that. Yesterday I preached in a Apopka, Florida, and it was Youth Day. And I talked on the same identical subject that we're talking about right now. And I was telling them about a statement that Stokely Carmichael made when people were talking about, why did you say this and why did you say that? And Stokely basically told them, he said, what I'm trying to do is tell that beautiful young lady and that handsome young man to go home and take a look in the mirror and look at the beautiful color of their skin, or look at the thick lips now that everybody's trying to get, okay? Look at yourself and tell yourself that God made me beautiful, beautiful. And if we can start letting our people see that, we can quit worrying about what that white man is going to think, because we know he has that mindset that he still owns us and that he still is trying to control us, and some of us are really allowing that to happen because we are constantly rolling over in the foolishness of believing that there's been such a change in this world. And they have not. We have not progressed. We have regressed to a certain extent. We have. Sure, they let us have our radio shows like we have now. They let us sit at their lunch counters and all these kind of things and do stuff like that. But when it comes down to certain things, we've got to wait. I hate to say that, but we've got to wait. Look at the younger generation, younger generations like the prince and this lady that's going to be princess. They're not stopping to wait on nobody. Thank God.
That's right.
They are moving on. And this younger generation that's coming up now, they are saying, the heck with you, mama and daddy. I love George, you know, or John, or Dewan, or whatever. And this woman is saying, hey, the boy is saying, hey, I love Shay, you know, because they got common names. But so they don't care. What we've got to do as older families and mothers and fathers and grandparents and great-grandparents, we've got to put in our children's head, hey, you're going to get, we've got to tell them this. We've got to stop telling them how changed things are because you're immigrated. We've got to tell them, hey, look at you. Look at you. You got a choice. When we as men, and then I'm going to shut up, but when we as men go out there to look for us a beautiful lady, we got a choice of whatever color, not even having to go over to any other race. We got
that's right.
Medium, ebony, pecan, all of these things. And we got straight hair, natural hair, nappy, whatever you want. We got it. So we don't have to be transporting ourselves from this side of the track to the other side of the track. Because
amen.
We are already on the track.
That's what I'm
and, you
talking
know,
about. Damn it.
And Reverend Smith, hearing you say that, you know, you think about how many women of color are being stolen away from Americans by the Europeans. They're coming over here, snatched up Serena, snatched up Megan, smashed up Mariah, even though it didn't last. But I'm
exactly.
saying, they're coming over here just striking.
They got Tina Turner.
And what we need, what we need to be doing is respecting our black women of all colors, and recognizing that we need to inspire our young men to do what they need to do to stop this onslaught.
Exactly.
Audrey,
yes.
what is your thought this evening, Audrey, about Megan and the role she's going to play worldwide as a woman of color?
Well, marvelous Monday to everyone, and I regret that I didn't hear the conversation, but just the end of what I've heard was very empowering and affirming. And I think that's exactly what she'll bring to the platform. I think she'll use her platform and bring out some of the cultureness of her heritage. And I think the Britons are proud. I heard one of the comments that they're proud of that she is interracial. You know, they
right.
just love her.
I heard.
And that's exactly what we have. You know, we're so busy sometimes we're not taking the time to really, as the pastor has said he did,
you know, make sure that we put out there the expectation that, you know, what are you looking for? Your princess. Your princess is in your prince. All right. Again, we only look.
Amen.
We can't fall astray for an illusion of what we think could be better, should be better, or is better. And in reality, everything that we have as a race, I mean, everything that we have, they want it. It goes back from the chitlins, you know. I mean, you can talk about it healthy, but, you know, we didn't have an opportunity to have meat. So we used every part of what we had. And now it's a delicacy that, you know, they can get it. The collard greens and the sweet potato fries and styles and body shape, everything that is, and you know, taking yourself and the kids are trying to be all cups. So, I think she would use James.
I think I find it just a wonderful opportunity for us to recognize that we are going to play a role in this world like no other. Because we're going to be all over the place because we've shown a quality, or there's a quality that exists in us that people should recognize. And we got to let our young people up in the room by allowing themselves not to be a part of what's going on and destroying it at an early age. Dee, what is your thought related to what can possibly happen in this merger between Harry and Meghan?
Well, good evening, everybody, and please forgive me. I have just tuned in, and so I'm at a disposition to elaborate, but I want to say hello to everybody and hello to Pastor Smith. And James, just let me listen in. I appreciate that.
All right. You know, guys, my thing is that we have to take advantage of every opportunity we have to go beyond just the people involved. And we have to go down, just like Reverend Smith, to our young people and tell them that we need them to really take into consideration that we don't want them to be teenage mothers. We don't want them to be teenage dropouts. We don't want them to be teenage felons. We don't want them to be teenage drug users. Because there is too much that they can do if they eliminate those things out of their future. George, there's no telling what they could possibly be if they're willing to make the sacrifice to not let those things be a part of their history.
Absolutely. And Mr. Smith, Reverend Smith, I just like how you put it. Just amen on that. What we got to realize and what we have to tell our young people, and I would like to go a step further when you tell them to look in the mirror. When they look in the mirror, the reflection they should see is royalty, because that's who we are. Black generation is royalty. I mean, that's how come we beat down so much on different things. But when we look, we got to feel good about who we are. We are royalty, but we got to know that. In order to know it, you got to believe it. You are somebody. You are better than what it is that they're trying to make you to be. And you move forward. These young two people, they're going to stand on that foundation. And like I say, European are way beyond their time. England, they see no color. They cannot wait for this wedding. They say that this wedding is supposed to be bigger than Diana's wedding. And hers was huge. Harry is so international from all over the world. This is so big. And the United States got a problem with her. Like I say, they're not even in the lead on this. They be following suit. Now, it's going to be interesting enough to see whether or not the president is going to send anybody from the United States to represent the United States. Now, that's what's going to be interesting, particularly that he talked about black so badly over the weekend of the holiday. He talked about the black race, you know, what we're good for. You know, it's just ridiculous. So now it's going to be interesting as to who and if someone's going to represent the United States at this wedding.
Well,
so
Cheryl,
we're waiting. We'll see about that.
Cheryl, I know that we need to speak up and speak loud and clear about what this means to us as people of color so that we inspire both our males and our females to greatness.
You're so right, and I'm going to add, you know, Joyce, as far as what the pastor said, you know, he hit on some very key points, and this is definitely something that we need to teach our young women. But also, you know, just as he mentioned before, that even though now she's having, you know, America is scrutinizing her, and that it's going to continue. It's not that it's not going to happen, but I just, you know, hope and pray that they can withstand all of that because of where they are, you know, and not pay attention to what's going on here. But who does pay attention to what's going on here, you know, because, and I just say, you know, I'm just hoping and praying that they set an example that many of us can take heed to. And side of that, it's going to be difficult because, you know, when something is embedded, that's just the way, you know, it is. People refuse to change, you know, no matter how much, you know, we want them to change. And but this is a positive step towards something that we can definitely look at, especially with a lot of the different foolishness that's going on, you know, here with us, you know, starting at the president dribbling on down to, you know, the allegations of the sexual assaults and all of those things. This would be definitely something refreshing to be able to see and to hear what's reported about this couple.
And Reverend Smith, we have to really use every weapon that we're given to make our young people see how they can change their future from the age of 10 to 20. There's so many different things that they can do wrong that can totally destroy their futures. And so that they know that they have to protect their future just like they would protect a huge diamond or a pot full of gold. You have to protect your future in the same manner by not doing the kinds of things that would destroy opportunities for you.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that I talked about also on yesterday. I talked to them about their, when they get on Facebook, I talked to them also about be very careful, because what is being done now with the naturalists and the KKK and the president and all these other people who are basically trying to take over everything now, they are using any little thing to try and destroy our children. That's what they're trying to do, more so because they know that the younger generation is not as easy to thwart as it is with the older generation. The younger generation almost ignores them. And so they will use anything. And I told them about be very careful when you're going to get a job. Be careful of how you put these tattoos on you. Because any little thing, they keep it where it's not can be seen. So we've got to school our children. We've got to stop this, mothers and fathers. Stop trying to be their brothers and sisters. We've got to sit down. We let them talk to us and get in every conversation we almost have. And one thing about it, unfortunately, we don't try to hide anything from our kids anymore. We're sitting down talking about some of the foolishest things in the world, and the kids are right in the middle of that conversation. So if you're going to do that, at least school them on some of the reasons and things that they could do to help themselves later on in life. It's not going to be easy now that things have somewhat gotten out of hand. But if we give up now, we really have lost everything. Because they are our future. I'm not worried about those other people's future. I'm talking about the black race and the brown race and all of that. we're being talked about and pushed down in order that these naturalists and KKKs and all of these other people, skinheads, can rise up. But I just don't see God allowing that to happen. But I see him making us come to the point now where we have to be aware. We have, now all of a sudden, we are aware. Wait a minute. We became too complacent. We need to get back to what we were doing. And that's what we've got to teach our kids, that it's not okay. Everything is not hunky-dory. You know, that's what we like to say. That's what we like to say, James. We like to let everyone, oh, things are not like they used to be. They've changed so much now. And no, it's just covered up, okay? I was out there for 27 years. As a law enforcement officer, I come around the corner. I was back in the back office, and nobody knew I was. I heard all of that foolishness. I heard the reasons and all of this stuff. And just being out there undercover and being in white establishments, I heard this foolishness, you know. But we and you try to tell us this, are you just trying, you're just so hard on me. I'm not hard. I'm just trying to say it's not as simple as we make it out to be. They are laughing at us instead of helping us. They are laughing at us. But be reminded of one thing while we are talking. No race of people got all bad people, okay? There are some good in all races of people. It's just that right now we're in a place with this fool, I'll say it again, this fool that we got up there in the White House, where things, if just everybody just feel free now, we're free. We've been enslaved all the time by Obama and all of the rest of the people saying what we can't say. Now we can say and do what we want to do. So that's why the phone calls were to this young lady over in England. That's why they're saying the things and wondering, even the commentators on television, MSNBC and CNN and the other shows, wondering what she's going to do and how she's going to present herself. Or will she say this or will she do that? That's none of your business. You didn't make it to marry Prince William, so you shouldn't worry about it.
Right. Okay. Andre, let me ask you. This woman made herself prepared and kept herself as well as she could, or presented herself as well as she could, well up into her 30s. So now we need to let our young people know that you need to keep yourself in a position to take advantage of the possibilities, and you can't allow yourself the freedom to be too out of control. So when an opportunity comes, you can take advantage of it.
That's exactly right. We have to plan for the future. And, you know, Scripture tells us that we have to have our steps ordered. And, you know, one thing about it is we have to know that what's for us is for us. And you're exactly right. When an opportunity is presented, we have to make sure that we are equipped. And the Lord has equipped us and prepared us for everything that we're going to face. But it's up to us to make sure that we're in a position to take full advantage of the blessings that the Lord has in store for us. And that allows us to make sure that the choices that we make are not just impacting us immediately, but it does have to do with our future. Because if we reflect back, President Obama and Michelle was prepared and equipped. The average black couple could not have endured all that they endured in the manner in which they endured it. Believe you me, people tried to search and dig up dirt and scandal and this and that before it not to occur. That's saying something. And as many political people that now are being called out for different things over the years, you're exactly right. We have to talk to our children. We have to prepare. And Pastor, I appreciate you're saying that, you know,
the Lord has assigned parents to be parents. There's a difference between being a parent and being a friend. He gifted us children, and with that comes responsibility and accountability. And I know when we were growing up, you didn't get in grown folks' conversation. You did not do it because you were a child, and you handled child situations, and all this, you know, going out together, you know, children going out with folks. It's a time and place for everything, but you have to, like you said, you have to make sure that we're equipped and our children for scrutiny that's to come. And we know it may not be fair, but we're not held to the same standards. Our, as a race, we have to always exceed what's expected. And I do agree with the pastor that there's good in each race, and the Lord uses different people to help propel what's right. But in this particular case, again, we're going to see, I believe that we'll see her, both her and Harry, use this platform for something positive. But let us carry on the conversation with our youth and equip them to be in a similar situation to do good.
All right. Do you want to say the final word?
Yes, I am, James. I'm sorry, and I heard you. Look, let me say this. I have been on long enough now to get the gist of the conversation. And Pastor Smith, I got to really give you accolades, my brother. You have been paying attention to world society during your time here on Earth. And I think that's vitally important. You know, it used to be a time where the opposition used to try to stifle our growth as a community with Slit Smaller Liquor Bull, Old English 900, and putting liquor stores on every corner. Then, if that wasn't enough, they introduced crack cocaine into our neighborhood. Even the CIA had a hand in that. They used crack cocaine to sell crack cocaine to finance the Iran-Contra situation. But let me tell you what's going on. It's very important that we pay attention that now that those methods have come and gone, now they use suggestive influences by way of allowing the rap music to be aired on any airway. And in all of that, the main idea is to stifle our growth as a people. And like Ms. George said, we are royalty in the first place. When they used to come over in Africa and steal us, we were in a royal state of mind all the time. It wasn't until we came to this country that they tried to change that. They wouldn't allow us to read and to identify who we really are. So it's just like when you go over and you take over a country, first thing they want to do is burn all the books. So the people and the children behind you can't identify with your culture. And so that's what has happened to us. And Pastor Smith, you're absolutely right. You know, we have gone too long. We have assumed too long. We have given our future to assumption far too long. Now with this Trump presidency, it should shake us into some reality where we stand in this universe, where the gloves are off now. We don't need nobody to validate us. Let's get back to validating and encouraging one another. And I think that our outcome will be alive, strong, and well. Thank you.
All right. You know, it's just important that we recognize that we have a purpose. Joyce, and we have to make sure our young people are prepared to live the purpose that we have.
That's true. And how they do that is by what we do and how we go about molding them and raising. So we got to get back to molding and raising our kids, talking to them, teaching them. We got to be the teachers, you see. They get double taught. They get taught in the classroom, and when they come home, we need to teach them. We need to teach them our way, who we are, what we all about. So when they go outside, they know how to carry themselves. They know how to act. They know what their goal is, you see. Everybody have a goal in mind, so they need to remind themselves before they go out the door. So, you know, it's just a whole thing that we got to go back to the basics. Those old things that we thought that was old and outdated, those are the things that work, so we got to go back to the basic. Who we are, what we all about, and what we stand for. Very important to know what your last name is and what it means to you. Thank you.
And what it can mean to the world. Joy, Cheryl, what are your final thoughts for this evening?
That we, you know, pretty much, I mean, I agree with things that everybody is saying. And we do have to, and I keep saying this over and over, do better. Because we are definitely not our children's friend. And, you know, I think a lot of children, they're thinking about how they want to be treated and not how the children need to be treated. But I'm really looking forward to, you know, what it is that this royal family will have to offer, meaning the, or what did they put on display that we can gain from it, and hope that if it, and definitely it won't change all, but hopefully that it'll change, you know, many lives.
All right. Andre, your final thought for this evening?
We have an opportunity for our young people, our next generation, to really carry on our legacy to make us proud. But in order to do that, it takes us as the older, more seasoned generation to help give them that wisdom and direction. So let us make sure we're doing our part.
All right. Reverend Smith, we're going to let you end it. And just know that we're in a very important time, and that we need every hand on deck in order to get where we need to be going.
I have to agree with everything. I mean, this has been a wonderful conversation that we are having here tonight about what, how, who, when, where, and what. This young lady, like you said, James, she's kept herself inundated from all of the foolishness and junk, and they can go back and probably try. I know right now there are people out trying to dig up things and all of this, and no matter what Prince Williams or Prince Harry or whatever his name is have done, they're not going to dig up anything. They don't want to do that, but they want to try all, not so much in England, but in America. America has this thing that we are the ones that control everyone, no matter what country you're in, what we say or what we do. But now, I think it was, I really believe that God created this situation with Trump so that the people could stop looking at us and begin to look at him and say, we are ourselves. I know that's not profound and it's not too hard, but we are ourselves, and we need to begin to act like ourselves and start taking care of our own. We are quick to do everything, but we put our own down. There's always a disconnect. There's even it's still there too, folks, because I am light complexed, and I know it's still there. There's a disconnect between light and dark in our own society, and it bothers me so much. And when people call me high yellow or they call me a white boy, all this kind of stuff, I say, you have to check with God about that, okay? Don't bother with me. If you don't like the way I look, talk to God. And that's what we've got to talk to our children about. We've got to tell our children, hey, you are unique within yourself. You are unique. No matter how tall you are, no matter how big you are, whatever the situation may be, but you still got to prepare yourself. No matter how people are trying to push you down, God got you. He got you. And that's something I had to learn. That's something we need to pass on to our children, that you are somebody. And nobody can take that from you, but you can quickly and easily give it away. Don't ever give it away. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah, stop taking yourself and trying to be like Iverson. Stop taking yourself and trying to be like Michael Jordan. Be who you are because you have your own unique abilities. And when you got your own, if you can just help, let those unique abilities grow in you, you'll be surprised. You might be greater than the Michael Jordans and the Allen Iversons and all of these other folks out there. So we've got to, everybody has said the same thing tonight. We've got to stop trying to be our children. And the one thing I like that Joyce said, stop, we can't live our life through our children. We've already let those children be who they want to be. And you stop running out there to the bars and all these different places hanging with my Mimi or whatever you want to call it. How are you going to ask a child to respect you, and how's anybody else going to respect the child and you if they see you out there drinking together? That's
you
not
are so
good
right.
For the other good young people that are out there that's watching these things. That's why even now, people say, well, Pastor, why you testify so much about it? I tell people how good God has been to me so that the young people there can understand that if I overcame a lot of these things, so can you. You can overcome your smoking and your drinking and your carousing and doing all this other foolishness. And so that's what we've got to really do. And this is a good venue, what you have here, James. I just wish, and I'm going to do everything I can to get more people to come listen, and we can talk and have a good, maybe if they don't talk, at least they can listen. But most of the time,
we got to get prepared for the fight.
Most of the time, James, we don't want to hear nothing like this now.
You're so right.
I just thank God for you. Thank God for all of you that are here talking tonight and at least expressing yourselves and hope that we can express these things to the younger generation that's coming on behind us. God bless you.
All right. Well, we look forward to, again, as always, we're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, and 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. We're here so that your word can be heard loud and clear as we talk about the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
God bless.